just a privilege to share again this morning, but it seems to be a bit of a custom of mine to have a couple of true stories. So I've got a couple here, just a quick ones. A wife invited some people to dinner, and at the table she turned to the six-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say the blessing?" And she said, "I wouldn't know what to say." The girl replied, "Well, just say what you hear mummy say." The daughter bowed her head and said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people for dinner?" Father and son one now. A father was reading the Bible, which is a good thing for fathers to do, to his young son. And he read, "The man named Lot was warned to take his wife and flee out of the city, but his wife looked back and turned to salt." And his son says, "What happened to the flea?" Okay, that's just getting there. Kids, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you're among us. We thank you for the privilege of open worship as we have enjoyed this morning. Lord, there's many in the nations of the world that cannot do what we have just done, but we thank you for that privilege. We do it openly and with a full heart. We thank you for your presence, Lord. You're the teacher, you're the counselor among us, and we pray, we give you full realm and rights to touch our hearts and minister something to us. Would you bring revelation? Would you bring fresh vision? Would you bring fresh inspiration and courage? Would you touch our lives and our hearts today? Lord, less of me, more of you. We bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, Amen. My text for this morning, one of the main ones, is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 2. And it's just simply the first three words in the New King James, "Looking unto Jesus." The Message Bible puts it like this. It says, "Keep your eyes on Jesus." The NIV says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus." So that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I wonder if some of you this morning over Christmas time have got some of those mugs. You know, the keep calm kind of mugs. I've got a couple of pictures. And there's one there. "Keep calm and carry on." And there's another saying there. Just back that little one there. Back one. Back. Keep calm and eat cupcakes. There it is. "Keep calm and be awesome." I like that one. Next one. "Keep calm and eat cupcakes." Okay. "Keep calm and inspire someone." "Keep calm and drink coffee." I know that's some of you. But I'm sure that some of you would like the next one to be on your keyboard of your computer. "Help. I just can't keep calm, Lord. I need the escape button doesn't work. I need the help key to work." But I received a book from a friend of mine just recently, Jeff and Sue Merton. They were students at the Bible College in Auckland when I was director of studies there 20 years ago. Gosh, time flies. And he's written this book. Well, they have. Fascinating, fascinating story of their belief in God. They're stepping out and trusting God and living by faith. Amazing, amazing couple. And I like the cover. I'm not quite sure of the copyright licensing requirements there, because they've stolen the logo from the Keep Calm kind of thing. But I like the title, "Keep Calm and Don't Look Down." And it got me thinking, because I was already reading this scripture. "Keep calm and don't look down, look up." Look up. So we want to go to the Old Testament for a little while, and it's the story of Abraham. And we go to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward." Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. So just a couple of things about this verse. Firstly, lift up your eyes now. God wanted to show Abraham something. He wanted him to move. And so the first thing he says is, lift up your eyes. Have a look. Look about you. See what you can see from where you are to where I want you to be. God would do the same with us. But interesting that Lot was with him prior to that. In Genesis 12 and verse 1, we read that God spoke to Abraham to leave and Lot went with him. But should Lot have gone with Abraham? Because Lot's name, it's interesting, be careful what you call your kids because their names are very important. I'm serious. Lot's name means covering, a veil. It wasn't until Lot had gone his way and left Abraham that he could at last see. See, when you are free, you can see. When you are free, you can see. Maybe Lot was a veil. Maybe he was a covering, a blockage to Abraham's vision. What veil, what blockage, what hindrance, what baggage, burdens and attitudes, what coverings and character traits, what sorrows, sins and frustrations, what veins and problems and time stealers and disappointments are there in our life that veil us from seeing what God wants us to see? Who or what do we need to separate from so that we can see? See, you can't do what you cannot see. Be free from all the distractions that would stop us from seeing what God wants us to do and be. Now, I'm on the New Zealand Board of a Missions organization, and we were staying in a place in Auckland, and the Crusaders rugby team were there. And we bumped into them a couple of times, a number of the players. Wendy virtually, literally, and you know, she was gobsmacked, you know. They were massive units. Their forwards are huge, aren't they? Coming out of the lift, they tower over us. But the first time we bumped into them was before their game. And they were focused. They were in the zone. They didn't engage with us at all. They didn't say hello to us or back from us. They didn't reply to our hellos to them. They were focused in the zone. They were undistractable. The second time we bumped into them was after the game. Completely different. They did say hello, and Richie McCall was throwing a ball around with the kids, and it was just a great time. Distractions can stop us playing a winning game. Distractions can cause us to look down and take our eye off the ball. Distractions can stop us seeing where we're meant to see. Our view is always safest when we look up to Jesus. Sure, let's look at where our footsteps are and watch where we're going and watch our walk, but it's safer to look up more than down. What are we looking at mostly? See, when we are free, we can see. Keep calm. Don't look down. Look up. There'll be some scary moments this year, but keep calm. Don't look down. Look up to Jesus. Amen? Number two, look and see. Lift up your head. Have a look. See from where you are. Many people look, but never see. Let God show you some stuff. You know, I looked at that word recently, stuff. It's a good word. I like the word stuff. Did you know that it's actually a Bible word? It's a Hebrew word. Yes, it is. And it occurs 325 times in the Bible, stuff. And you know what it means? It means utensil, object, furniture, implement, tool, vessel. All of these things serve a purpose. All of these things serve a purpose. So there is much stuff to see. There is much purpose to see. Lift up your eyes, have a look at some stuff. Lift up your eyes, have a look at some purpose that God wants to reveal and release for you. We were born to be visionaries. We're born to be visionaries, and kids certainly are. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, that well-known verse. And the New King James says, where there is no... The meaning is prophetic revelation, the people perish, cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, when there is a godly revelation, when it comes from God what we're to do, without that, the people cast off restraint. But when there is that, there's kind of boundaries to our actions and our behavior, which is a good thing. Happy is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 29:18 in the Message says, if people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Children have no problem with vision, do they? Full of imagination and full of vision. They're wired, they're hardwired with a sense of a dream and a purpose, natural sense of receptivity to new things and exploring, and motivation of those things. And as it is with them, it should be with us. It should be with us. We've got our daughter and two grandchildren living with us at the moment, a 4- and a 5-year-old. Changes life a little bit. But amongst all the stuff going on, and the busy times and the noisy times, there's precious little moments that happen. And Cain, my 5-year-old grandson, he creeps into my office one morning while I'm having my quiet time, and under a blanket, you know, and there's a monster in my office, you know, and we have a bit of a thing like that, and he crawls up into my lap and snuggles in, and we chat for a while, and I'm just enjoying this really nice granddad-grandson moment. And then he says, "Granddad, I don't know why, I do not know why, but I was expecting some deep and meaningful theological question." I was in my office having my quiet time. But he says, "Granddad, why have you got hairs up your nose?" But that's not all. So I said, "Oh, you'll have them one day." He says, "I'll never have hairs in my nose." And then he says, "Granddad..." So by this stage, I've put out of my mind completely any kind of theological, deep and meaningful question. And he says, "Granddad," I says, "yes, are you in here learning about Jesus?" So I said, "Yes." And then he says, "I want to stay with you forever and ever and ever." Isn't that great? So I've lived on that every time he's not so good. Yeah. Let that be brownie points, you know. But everything changes when we have a vision. When we see things, when we see possibilities, you know, expectation rises and energy lifts and pain is less and purpose clarifies. Everything increases. We simply live a better life when we know where we're going and what we're doing and why we're meant to be doing it. We do better when we've got vision. So don't be distracted from God's vision, God's purpose for your life. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of it and to distract you and to bring a veil and a covering. And one of the great things about being in the house of God is that we can deal with those things. We can come in and God can reveal stuff to us, and we can repent of them and get free of them, and we can receive prayer, and we can go on and we can grow and get free and get alive in God and pick up the vision again that he's got for us. Keep calm. Don't look down. Look up. I remember once time in Pelorus. I don't know if you've ever been to the South Island. Between Blenheim and Nelson, there's a place called Pelorus. And I've got this little walk. And it's a little bush walk. And you walk along the bush walk, which I'm quite okay with, and then you come to a bridge. It's a swing bridge. And it's about a zillion kilometers to the river down below. And it's good not to look down at points like that. But God, you see, we are never where God wants us to be. Life is a journey. He wants us to see things that he wants to reveal to us. If we only do what we've always done, we'll only get what we've always got. And God wants to reveal some fresh and new stuff, purposes for you for this year. The old is past. This is a new year. It's a fresh beginning for many of us. Remember, God wanted Abraham to move. So the first thing he does is he says, "Lift up your head. Have a look, see from where you are to where I want you to be." You see, God wanted to change him from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, father of a multitude. And so he brings him outside and gets him to look up, and he shows him the land. Vision always precedes transition. You want to transition from point A to point B, from whatever that might be, from a bound in something or some attitude or some skill or some job position or some relational thing or church ministry, and a transition from point A to point, it always starts with a vision of what it's going to be like there. And that's why we make that declaration. We can see stuff happening. Wendy and I are declaring some of that stuff because we can see it happening, and it's beginning to. Vision always precedes transition. God wants to do the same with you. He wants us to move us on into better things. So let's come back now to Hebrews chapter 2 and finish off there for the last few moments this morning. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2. Lovely verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Or the, in my margin, it's got the originator and perfecter of our faith. But that phrase there, next it says, who for the joy that was set before him. Who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus looked right through the cross to the joy and the purpose of it. The joy of bringing souls, the joy of bringing you and me, those he loves, into fellowship with himself, into relationship. He looked right through the pain of the cross and to the purpose of it, which is you and me. Wow. Let's look through the tough stuff, even the good stuff, when God's blessing and abundance is filling our lives, or whatever's happening. Let's look through those things to the purpose of them. Because there's much joy for us and for those who look to us and those who follow us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 again, and it goes on to say, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus knew that there was pain and shame involved in the cross, but his focus remained on going through the cross. He refused to avoid it. Instead, he endured it. Wow. We too, though life may throw at us some curveballs from time to time, look through these things, maybe some pain and shame, but Jesus knew his purpose. We can refuse to avoid it, knowing that God is with us. Jesus could have called down a legion of angels to deliver him from the cross, but he didn't, because he looked through that to you and me. What's God taking us through right now that he wants us to look through that to the people that will be blessed and in some sense receive redemption because of our obedience? There's always stuff happening. And I say that there's always post-pain purpose to everything we go through. Post-pain purpose. After the stuff we've been through, good or bad, there's always a reason. There's always God wants to bless people through our obedience. Look through these things. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And then it says here, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sometimes, friend, we need to be remembered. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. One day we'll be there too. Remember, I've read the end of the book. I've read the end of the book. Maybe we need to read the end of the book a little more and encourage ourselves. One day we won't be distracted by anything. We won't be tempted by anything. We won't be pressured to give up. There'll be no sin, no sorrows, no pain, no shame, no tears, no hurts. We'll be forever in his presence. We'll be lost in wonder, love, and grace. Wow. Just remind yourself of that every day. That one day we're going to be in heaven for a zillion, gazillion, million, trillion, billion, gazillion years. And this short little lifetime of a generation or two will mean nothing. But at the time, it's important. Of course, we're preparing for then. But let's never forget where we're going. So we need to look up. Need to look up. Don't worry so much, you know. Keep calm. Don't look down. Look up. Looking up to Jesus reminds us of that we're going to one day be in heaven with him. The old saints of old spoke a lot about heaven. We don't hear so much about it nowadays. But you see, when we look up, the peripheral things seem to disappear. The earthly things seem to disappear, and we see things more clearly as we should. I mean, give it a try. You're just looking down right now, and you're seeing people around you and stuff, but as you look up, all the stuff around here disappears and you have a clearer vision of what God wants you to see. The psalmist said in Psalm 121 verse 1 and 2, says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So I don't know about you, but whenever I see the hills and the majesty and the wonder of God's creation, I guess I'm a bit like the psalmist. They remind me of how big God is. And when we're facing stuff, when we're going through life and we lift up our eyes to the hills, which are bigger than we are, but they remind us that there's a God that's even bigger than them, who created the big hills, and so he can look after us. Keep calm. Don't look down.
look up. You see, when we look to Jesus, and I was thinking about this morning, and it was just as we were worshiping, this was so clear. When we look to Jesus, we see him looking right back at us with love. And sometimes it's not until we lift up our gaze and engage with his gaze that we see that love. Lift up your eyes. Look up. God is bigger than the hills. The hills remind us of how big God is. So, Father, thank you today. Thank you that you're a big and awesome, wonderful God. Thank you that you've got great plans for us this year. And Lord, when we take our eyes off stuff of the earth, things that are going on, and we lift up our eyes and fix them on you, you begin to show us our destiny and our purpose and our reason for being alive. You give us hope and courage and faith. You give us dreams and possibilities. Lord, forgive us for looking down too much. But Lord, thank you that when we lift our eyes, we see you looking back at us with love. Oh God, thank you for that. Thank you for that vision, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we enter this year, that we would look up more to you, hear from you and receive from you, and see things that you want to show us for our family and our life and our work and our business, for the church and for the city and the nation. Would you show us what you want us to see, without hindrance, without veils, without baggage, without anything that clogs the vision, in the mighty name of Jesus.